I'm so happy. At least some good music will lift my spirits up this morning. So anyhow, this morning I'm here to talk about balanced womb. I don't know how many minutes I have, 40? Okay, so let's jump right into it, but I'm sure it's your tradition in this house to stand for the reading of God's word. So please, could you rise to your feet? Let's read Judges chapter 4, the Amplified Version, and I'll start from verse 1. It says, "But the Israelites again did evil in the sight of the Lord after Ehud died. So the Lord sold them into the hand of Jabin, king of Canaan, who reigned in Hazor. The commander of his army was Sisera, who lived in that place." Then, my brother, Harold. Then the Israelites cried out to the Lord for help. I mean, they won't disgrace. For Jabin had 900 iron chariots and had oppressed and tormented the sons of Israel severely for 20 years. Verse 4. Now Deborah, a prophetess, the wife of Lapidoth, was judging Israel at that time. She used to sit to hear and decide disputes under the palm tree of Deborah between Ramah and Bethel in the hill country of Ephraim. And the Israelites came up to her for judgment. Now she sent word and summoned Barak, the son of Abinoam from Kedesh Naphtali, and said to him, "Behold, the Lord, the God of Israel, has commanded, go and march to Mount Tabor and take with you 10,000 men of war from the tribes of Naphtali and Zebulun. I will draw out Sisera, the commander of Jabin's army, with his chariots and his infantry to meet you at the river Kishon, and I will hand him over to you." Then Barak said to her, "If you will go with me, then I will go. But if you will not go with me, I will not go." And she said, "I will certainly go with you. Nevertheless, the journey that you are about to take will not be for your honor and glory, because the Lord will sell Sisera into the hand of a woman." See, the hand of a woman. Then Deborah got up and went with Barak to Kadesh. Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask you today that you bless your word. Take it and break it into 1,000 pieces and let everyone here live with their own instruction in the name of Jesus. I pray that this morning we will find direction. This morning we will have our questions answered. This morning you will give us clarity and push us one step closer to destiny in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Be seated in God's wonderful presence this morning. And so this morning, initially I thought, the balanced woman, let's talk about the Proverbs 31 woman. But then again, I realized that there are so many other women who had names in the Bible who were balanced. The Proverbs 31 woman, a lot of women even differ because they think she's a figment of somebody's imagination. You wake up in the morning early, you sleep for night late, you will cook, you will clean, you will sew clothes, you will buy real estate, you will plant, you will consider a field, then you will plant a vineyard. Only you. So a lot of people don't really believe she's real, but we can find many examples in the Bible of women who were balanced women. And so I want to talk about Deborah. And Deborah is one of the women that I love so much in the Bible. And I think that a lot of people love her because of how strong she was, how powerful she was. But there are so many things we can learn from Deborah that will amaze you. I want to focus today on verse 4. Verse 4 tells us something. It says, "Now Deborah, a prophetess, the wife of Lapidoth, was judging Israel at the time." Now, if you look at that scripture, it may not even look like it's a big deal, but I want us today to try to unpack it. So I want us to start with the very first thing. It says, "Now Deborah." Now Deborah. Not yesterday's Deborah. Now Deborah. Not tomorrow's Deborah. Now Deborah. If you are going to be a balanced woman, one of the things you must understand is seasons. Must understand seasons, times and seasons. I do not believe that Deborah always was a strong woman. I don't think so. There was a season when her name was not mentioned. But they are telling us that this woman, this new Deborah, this one that we're talking about, is a woman who lives in the present. It says it's a noun, Deborah. Now, as a woman, I don't know about the rest of you, but for me, I have gone through many phases in my life. I've been through many challenges in my life. But if you allow those things define you, you are not going to be balanced. Some people are living today, but they're really living in their past. They're carrying some of the things that have hurt them in their past, and they're bringing it into their future. But this woman, the Bible tells us that she's a woman who lives and understands seasons. Bible in Ecclesiastes 3:1 tells us that there's a time and a season for everything. So you may be the kind of person who at this time, now, it may look like things are not working for you. But if you keep your eyes on the mark, if you keep your eyes on the goal, and know that this thing I'm going through now is just a going through. She understood how to be comfortable in her season. The Bible tells us, it now goes down to explain to us that there was a time in this woman's life when all she would do was sit down under a tree and settle matter. My wife does not know how to cook. Yesterday, when she was cooking, instead of putting ugu, she put bitter leaf. She will now say, okay, call your wife. She will sit down. The wife soon will come. He says, my husband is a useless man. The money he gave me is not enough to buy ugu. So I went outside and plucked bitter leaf. And anything where you see, make it chop. She will say, okay, you don't behave like that. That's what she was doing. Settling small, 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 small quarrel. But the Bible says, then at one point, she now realized that this thing that I'm doing is one season. But if I stay here, I will not be remembered for destiny. Then she arose and sent for Barak. You see, there must be a time where you understand that there's a time for doing small things, but there's also a time for doing big things. There's a time when, yes, we can settle quarrel inside our compound, but there's a time when you become a judge. That was Deborah. She understood. She did not complain about me out every day now with the settle quarrel. Which can I work with this one? Wait, God, don't give me. I beg, I don't tire. No, be my mates, they do this one. No, be my mates, they do that one. She didn't do that. She was content in understanding that this is the season that I'm in at this time. But this is not where I am going to stay. A balanced woman is a content woman. She's content in her season. You see, one of the things that God taught me early, because when I got married, I didn't have my children on time. You see, what I would have realized about women, women are never satisfied with where they are. Our eye is always outside. So you are single, you are envious of those who are married. You get married, you are envious of those who are looking for children. You have children, you are envious of those who their children have gone to university. Your children go to university, you are envious of those who... At what point are you going to be a now Mildred? At what point are you going to be a now Deborah? You have to be a now person. She understood her seasons. So when I first got married, I was never one of those people that before you get married, you go, money, go do prayer meeting. I want to marry, prayer line, you join this one. No, I enjoyed being single. I thoroughly enjoyed being single. I enjoyed not having to cook for somebody when I'm tired. Bless you when I like him. You're a single girl. Any I do you, buy indomie, reach out, you boil up, you lie down. It doesn't concern you. But if you're married, when you get home, you cannot just say you want to boil indomie because you feel like eating indomie. That's when your husband will know that you go say has been hungry for 3 days. And you must do it. Because you're the one that say you will do. So I understood that. You see that single time, eh? I enjoyed it. You know that's the time you can carry your bag and just travel. Traveling with husband is a different thing. Traveling with children. There was a time when all my children were under 5. And my husband and I used to travel a lot. See, if I had that time when I was single, when I could just carry one, you know, you can just carry one bag. You know that's a tomorrow bag. I wanted to say that one used to sleep in your boyfriend's house overnight, but you were not there. We're all born again. You don't sleep in boyfriend's house. I bind that spirit of sleeping overnight. You know that bag? You can just carry it and travel. But when you are married, you will first pack your husband's own. How many, I don't know, but how come that when we are traveling, husbands never find anything? That's when they know, honey, I kept this thing here. You didn't keep it this. You didn't keep it there. If you kept it there, it would be there. Then I got married, and I understood that it's the season of husband. It's my only focus. So I poured everything into it. I wasn't thinking, hey, children, children, children. That period, me and my husband grew, eh? We traveled. In fact, at some point, my mother would call me and say,
Is something wrong with you? I thought you were looking for children. So this travel, you travel, not go to hospital. No, mommy, we did not go. We went to Ferrari World. We entered the fastest roller coaster in the world. We went bike riding on Hafit Mountains. We went, that's what we're doing, we're grooving. Because you see, that season you are in, it can never be forever. Never. The times and seasons must change. So we moved from that season, now children started coming. You know how some people be complaining, I'm tired, my children cry. You won't, they won't be children forever. The other day, we just dropped my daughter in boarding school. As we were going, my husband said, go pick her up. I know fit. Because by the time they enter boarding school from secondary school, from that point on, they've left you. That's it. So you must enjoy that season when they are young and they're children and they're in your house. Enjoy that season. So Deborah was a woman that understood her season. Yes, she started out judging small matters, but at some point she realized that I'm bigger than this. There's something inside me bigger than this. But that didn't keep her from serving. You know, and that's one of the things I need to talk to women about. Just because you know that God has called you to great things doesn't mean you shouldn't start with doing small things. You must start with doing small things. You must start by serving. Serve where you are. I hear people all the time say, I'm praying for my purpose. Purpose is not far. It's not far. Purpose is what you find to do. Do it well now. And purpose will meet you. So she was a woman that understood her seasons. Don't keep wishing that when you are single, you'll be married. When you are married, be having children. No. Enjoy that season. She understood her season. She enjoyed her season. If you are a mom, be a mom. Enjoy it. If you are married, be married. Enjoy it. Enjoy it. The time will come where you and your husband will never have that time alone. Where you can walk about in the house naked. Keep your minds holy. But it will never happen. When you even start having babies, you don't even need family planning. Children have family planning. You just want to kiss your husband. You don't say you won't born another one, join me, and I know where. Come on, I will cry. So enjoy every season of your life. And that's one of the major things about her. Now, the second thing, he said she was a prophetess. She was a prophetess. Number one is you must understand your season. Number two, you must have a strong relationship with God. Just because she understood that, I'm a mother, I'm a wife, I'm a this, didn't change the fact that there's ministry inside of her. And you must fulfill what you are called to do. Listen, every other thing we are doing is general. I hear people say things like, I work in this, but I'm in part-time ministry. No, you are in full-time ministry and you are a part-time banker. Because your real actual calling is to serve God. That's the first assignment you've been given. That's what God has called you to. And so this woman understood that even though her job, first of all, was to understand herself, understand her sense of identity, know who she is and be comfortable in it, she was okay with that. But she also knew that she had a higher calling, which was to be a prophetess. She was a woman who heard from God and spoke to the world. Some of us, it's not in being able to. You see, you may never have the opportunity to stand here. You may never, but every single one of us has a pulpit. Every time I say it, your pulpit is anywhere you are where you pull people out of a pit. So in that your office, make it your pulpit. This woman, yes, she was sitting under a tree and judging matter, but she knew that there was something God was saying about Israel. Israel at some point, everything was scattered. The men did not even have power. Nobody could rise up again. And the Bible says that she arose as a mother in Israel. She made that decision. But I believe that it was because there was a deeper calling inside of her that was pulling her to say, you can't be like everybody else. There's a problem. You can't just sit around and complain. You can rise up and do something about it. And so, yes, Deborah was a woman. She understood her sense of destiny. But she also understood that she was a prophetess. She was called to great things. If you are going to be a balanced woman, you must know who you are. If you know who you are, you'll be satisfied in who you are. I heard someone say recently that it's only weak women that compete, and it's true. You are too busy looking at another person. You are too busy looking at what they are doing. Listen, I may never be able to sing like Mercy Chinwo, but there are things I can do that she cannot do. And we must be ready to celebrate each other. That I cannot sing, but I can preach. So I will invite her to come and sing. If she sings, finish, everybody, I'll come and preach. At the end of the day, what we want to achieve has been achieved. But if you say you must sing, you carry mic. Instead of the heavens to open, the earth will close. So we must get to that point where it's okay. It's okay for me to be different. And that's why we need each other. It's okay for me to be different. It's okay for you to be different. But if you are busy fighting, oh, I must be this thing. You must understand, first of all, your calling, your identity, and understand that you are sent here to serve God and to stand in it. The third thing it says about her was that she was the wife of Lapidoth. You see, this particular line of scripture now erases everything that they have taught us in the world. They make it seem as if you are a strong woman, you can't be submitted to a man. They make it seem as if you are a strong woman, that your husband can't be strong as well. They make it seem as if you have a good job, you can't have a good marriage. But from this woman, the Bible is showing us that you can have it all. You can actually be a strong woman and yet be submitted and controlled. I remember, in fact, one of the most common questions that people ask me every time I go, they say, Pastor M, you are a strong woman. How can you also be married to a strong man? How do you cope? I say, you can be anything you want to be outside. When you are inside the house, there's a chain of command. It's like being in the army and you say you are stronger than your guy, so you go and beat him. The guardroom that they will throw you has not yet been created. You say, I'm bigger than him, so I can beat him. Even if your general is like this, tiny like this, short, you are 10 times taller than him. If he gives a command, you dare not. And that's how God organized things. God say, you choose who you can respect. Choose who you can obey. Choose who you can submit to. He did not force anybody on you. Nobody marries at gunpoint. So I do not understand when people get married and they start saying things like, I can't, you can. I've shared it. The last time I came here, I talked to you about how submission is important. And today I'm not teaching marriage. But it's important that we establish that even though Deborah was a strong woman, even though Deborah was a prophetess, they still told us she was somebody's wife. That means that even though she will go outside, judge men and everything, when she comes home, she will enter kitchen and turn egusi. She will go home and still help her husband. She will go home and still ask him questions. She didn't feel like, oh, I'm a prophetess. So when they clearly, if it's this generation, they're talking about name, to answer name. Even the name, that one's far. They won't even let you know they're married. There was one particular woman that was going about on social media. Tell everybody she was feminist. Nobody knew she was married. Nobody knew. See, if I tell you the amount of people that have destroyed young girls because of the rubbish that they are peddling outside, then they will now come behind and go to Pastor K's DM, because Pastor K's Instagram is on my phone, so I used to see it, because he will not tell me. He'll be forming, it's not ethical to share people's rubbish. I will just pass back, look in DM, nothing's happening. It's in my phone. You will see these people, and I'm like, hey God, these people should ask me now. The way I will publish our conversation. You will go outside and tell women, men are useless, men are scum, men are this. But you come to Basque and say, I'm having a problem with my husband. How can I, what do I need to do, sir? This is that. I say, not be this woman way talk, say men are scum. She get husband where she want to help him to love her. What are you talking about? Basque say, they know me, they don't used to ask me. But I'm praying, because it will be unethical for me to now go and publish his own. But my own, because too many young girls have destroyed their homes because of stupid counsel. There was one video going around at some point about a girl that went to her mother-in-law's house, and her mother-in-law said, oh my dear, let's go into the kitchen so that we'll prepare food and we'll talk. And then the girl said her mother-in-law was rude. That I'm a guest in your house, you should prepare food and bring for me, not ask me to join you and prepare. And people, human beings, people that I thought were human beings, because if I say they're human beings, I'm not religious. People I thought they were human beings were supporting her. That said, why will her mother-in-law tell after they've not married her? No, the guy came to introduce her to his mom. So after all, they've not married her, why would they tell her to follow her to the kitchen? I say, wow. What a wow. This generation, now they try you. I'm not even afraid of this generation. I'm afraid of the children they will have. They are the ones I'm afraid of. Because if this generation now, there's no respect. You know, there are things that, even now in my almost 40, I'm in my 40s. For me to tell my mother some things, my mouth cannot bend into shape to do it. Then a little twat will tell you, don't be silly, ma. I say it's English that's causing our problem. Can you say, don't be silly, Nibo? I remember I was in university. My mom was telling us something. She was giving us gist about one of my aunties. And so in the gist, she was saying something funny. So I laughed and I said, Mommy, it's a lie. She said, and who is telling it? I adjusted. You know that slap they give you without their body moving? I adjusted immediately. She said, who is telling it? I said, Mommy, no. I wanted to explain that. Mommy, no, I meant. I now realized that really, you are telling your mother that she's a liar. Are you on cheap drugs? All those things they are telling you is a lie. You can't be a powerful woman of a powerful man. You can be a strong woman, a strong wife of a strong husband. As far as you understand the power of submission, you stoop to conquer. With grace. There are things you make. You see, you don't even need to make your husband feel like he's a weakling. You make him feel like he's a strong man. In making him feel like he's a strong man, you can get him to do anything you want him to do. It's weak women that make noise and be shouting outside, but they go home and their husbands beat them. I don't want to talk, oh. Make I no talk. I have 20 minutes. There's another woman in the Bible that is an example of a wife, a powerful woman who was submitted. How many of you know of the woman? You see, there's some things we say in Christianity, they're like Christianese, but we sometimes don't even know where it came from. How many of you have ever said it is well? They tell you anything, say it is well. If you've not said it is well, you don't live in Nigeria. Because Nigeria problem, we bring it is well out of you. They say, they brought another room, it is well. They say they want to bump more, it is well. That's of all our problems in this country, bump more. So what's the response to that? So the way this thing came from is one particular woman. I don't have time to read it, so I'll just tell you the story. And I really love this woman because she was a strong woman. If there was ever a strong, it's not strength is not in coming to social media to say men are scum, men are scum. There you go. You tackle issues. Strength is from inside. That's why you pray to be strengthened in your inner man by God's Spirit. Strength is from inside. Not that any small thing shake you. So how would they tell? marriage is... He wants to ask questions, he can't ask you. He wants to make decisions, he can't call you. There's no decision. He will even tell them, he say, let me speak to my wife. See, I go to form humble, but get us that thing they do my body. Ah! You bring something to the table. There's a brain. There's something here. Even if there's no brain, you know, Shay, if you go and pray, the Holy Spirit will speak to you. You come back. And you say, I perceive. I can't count the number of times. My husband come and tell me, I sense in my, I won't say in my spirit, I sense in my spirit. That's how you do it. So you sound more spiritual. You can't say I sense in my spirit. You say I sense in my spirit. You're going to put hand here. I'm not sure. You know what? Give me a few days. Let's pray about this. You enter your and come out with the answer. You say, why, O King, why are you making haste? Why are you hasting this matter? Let me go and pray and come out with the answer. This woman, she was financially free of your slave. She was a strong woman. She went to her husband and said, I perceive this man is a man of God. Let's do something. The man didn't agree with her. Maybe because the advice she had given him before too had produced results. What advice are you giving your husband? Can he say that my heart doth safely trust in you? Or it's only gossip. Our neighbor. See what our neighbor did. See the car. And say, I don't need anything. I'm among my own people. Everything's fine. Then Gehazi, because he like gossip, say, everything's not fine, no. This woman, she not born. Now said, okay, by this time next year, you have a child. She said, oh, don't do me like this. Don't give me hope that it's false. Elisha said, do you know who I am? If I be a man of God, by this time next year, true, she had her child. Everything was fine. One day, this boy was in the field with his father. And he said, my head. Do you know what his father said? Take him to his mother. If you are going to be a balanced woman, the person you marry matters. Because you can want to balance and the man, no balance till you go follow. The person that you are standing with, if he's not balanced, you will follow. To be a balanced woman, you must marry a balanced man. Because you reproduce after your kind. If you go and carry what you don't know and join body, you no balance before. You're going to carry the one with no balance. Or this year, worst test. So the man said, go take him to his mother. And they took him to his mother truly. And he stayed on his mother's lap and died at noon. And his mother carried him and put him on the bed of the man of God. Then she said something. She said to the husband, I am going to see the man of God. And the husband said, people have midweek service today. Why are you disturbing Pastor Larry? Is there program? Is there push? Why are you going to see the man of God? She looked him. It is well. That's literally what she said. She said, it is well. I don't know whether it is that it is well or it is well. See, waiting I marry. But she said, it is well. This woman knew when to go and ask her husband's opinion for something, and she knew when to take charge. She knew that if I go, see the talk where they come off a person when he begin just die. Is this a service day? Is it not only on Sunday you used to meet? This going to church, is it not becoming too much? Is it, oh, you want to tithe again? Did you not just give offering last week? Did you not? She just carried herself And she told the guy riding her, she said, don't slow down unless I tell you to. And she got there. Elisha said, God has not revealed to me anything. He said, what is wrong? Gehazi went to her and said, are you well? Is everything well with your family? Is your child well? She said, it is well. A balanced woman is a woman of faith. She said, it is well. See, no matter the circumstance, do not let anything bring you down. Don't let anything change your resolve. She said, it is well. She was married. You see, why I'm bringing up this woman? It's because too many women are hiding behind submission when it's convenient. She could have said, my husband said I should not go to church today. And she could have stayed at home. But let me tell you, she saw that something big was about to happen to her. And she needed the spiritual guidance more than anything. She told her husband when she wanted to build house, when she wanted to revive her child, she carried herself and she went. There are times and seasons. As a person that is going to be balanced, you must understand them. There are times to be weak and say, oh, I want my husband to pet me. And there are times to just stand by yourself. Let me tell you, faith is not sexually transmitted. When I was looking for children, my husband was in absolute faith, but I wasn't getting pregnant. One day, it was the Holy Spirit himself that told me. He said, do you know that faith is not sexually transmitted? It comes by hearing and hearing by God's word, not hearing through somebody else's ears. You must go to the word. Then he took me to Rebecca and Isaac. Rebecca was not getting pregnant. Isaac went to the Lord and said, this matter, let it not be like my father's own, no, the way they waited for me. This is a pattern, I'm breaking it. But when she got pregnant and the children within her were wrestling, she said, this thing is not normal. She didn't go back to Isaac and say, go and pray again. The Bible says she went to inquire of the Lord. It was to her that the Lord said that there are two nations in your womb. Two people shall be separated from you. But it was her. And God told me, until you are ready to inquire of me, you are not yet ready to have your children. So you must know when it is you that must go to the Lord and say, God, what do I need to do? There are situations your husband is going through that he will not tell you because he thinks he got it. Even though me and you know that he don't got it. You, stop asking, what is it now? What is it? You are not eating. You are not, Go to God. Be like this Shunammah woman and get on the horse and say, I'm going to the man of God. That woman did not rest and she did not change her confession until she had her child brought back to life. Some of you, your situations would die if you do not rise up. You do not make up your mind. There are times to be a baby girl. There are times to be a warrior. And a balanced woman knows when to be either. There are times when you just allow your husband to take care of everything. And I really don't understand all this feminism in marriage. I don't. I'm sorry. And I'm used to them dragging me about it, but I don't. I really am okay with being taken care of. Because they don't really swear for me in this life. I want to buy something with my money. You say, no, baby, I got you. Why don't I allow you to get me? Please, sir, get me. I want to buy a ticket to travel. You say, why will you buy a ticket to travel now? Baby, what's that? I'll pay for it. Thank you, honey. It's very easy. And because I'm now used to that, I'll just change my voice next time. Baby, I'm teaching you, my darling. No, say, just enter this walk. And you never see me. Are you joking? You change your voice for him. You go sabi the voice. You just change baby voice for him. You say, what do you want? I don't really like to disturb you, but you know, as the head of this home, we can't really do anything without telling you. So I wanted to go and buy something, but I don't know. What do you need? I said, I don't know. I'm just thinking, can you give me money? You say, but all I have is yours. And you want to struggle. You want to suffer. You want to go and work and also and pay the bills. Why? What happened? What's wrong with you? And some of you are spoiling work for us. I'm a strong woman, I'm a strong woman. The husband, my husband will not say, see your mate. Happy birthday, oh. Ah. I'm going to use your own spare my own. So you know when to be strong. And you know when to be gentle. There are times when, yes, I'm that baby girl for him. But there are times when I am a lioness. I will roar at Satan, tell him, say, you they mad. I mean, you know, ask where they come. Did you ask for the family name? You are drunk. It's not here you pass. You can't have my husband, you can't have my children. You can't have my ministry, not this one. You go after him. That's a balanced woman. You know when to be strong, you know when to be weak. Let me give you a few tips for balancing your life. Because I know that, you know, I can preach all of this and somebody will say, but I go work tomorrow and I go tired when I come back. So how will I balance my life? Let me give you a few tips for work-life balance and I'll run through them quickly and we'll pray. Number one, pray. Trust in the Lord. That's what the Bible says. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Meaning you will have understanding. God said, don't lean on it. He didn't say you will not have. You will have understanding. He says, but don't lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge me and I will direct your path. I'm the one that will show you the best pathway for your life. This is where you should pass. It's not all road that lead to market though. Some road is trap. So when you go to God and say, this is what I want to do, then he shows you how to do it, number one. Number two, prioritize. Our lives are busy. Nobody's even going to lie about that. Maybe the Shunammite woman, that time, all she had to do is go to farm and go home. But you know that your life, in fact, you don't even have time for it. Sometimes I'm looking for my 24 hours. I feel like my angel, the angel in charge of my 24 hours. Maybe like saying no sabi maths like me. Because I will just wake up in the morning, before I know it, night has come. So where is my day? Prioritize. Let me tell you, that juggling all the balls, that thing is a fall. Yeah, I mean, I don't know, Sha. But I really believe that if you have an understanding that some of your balls will be rubber balls and some will be glass balls, knowing which one can fall when it should fall, and knowing which ones to make sure never fall will help your life. Your family is a glass ball. Your children are glass balls. If you don't go for that wedding, it's a rubber ball. If you don't buy that Ashwebi, it is such a rubber ball. It doesn't matter. It's not going to matter. So you have to know which ones can fall and which ones can't. Your relationship with God is a glass. In fact, I don't even know which other. It's a crystal ball. It cannot fall. Because if you don't seek first the kingdom of God, nothing will be added. So your relationship with God cannot suffer. If you are too busy to pray, you are too busy. Can't fall. So prioritize. Know which ones are important. Spending time with your family. Ah, I learned it all now. Not only my mama remained, the way I dey hold her now. There are some things you can't get back. Can't get it back. So prioritize things are important. The third thing is plan. Use planning apps. Use app. I'm always fascinated when people just wake up in the morning and say, let's see how the day goes. It will go. You have to have a plan. Your phone, this is your phone, If only people will use it for more than selfies. This phone can change your life. There are apps that can help you plan your day. You can have alarms. Just put alarms. Time to pray. Time to cook. Time to this. Time to that. Time to buy gari. Time to buy salt. You'll be amazed how your life will be organized. So plan. The next one is prepare. Prepare for the life that you want to have. You can't say that you want to get married and you're not ready for all the responsibilities that come with it. That's what makes people feel like I'm everything's shaking. I don't feel balanced. Because you were not prepared. You were praying to marry, but you didn't prepare. You were praying for the role in the office. They give you the role now. You did not plan that. You did not even prepare for it, knowing that with a higher role means comes higher responsibilities. So it will pull more on your time. You have to prepare for that. The next one is people. There's power in relationships. Maybe in second service, I'll break down the power of relationships. See, use people, but don't use them. Let me explain. There are things that only you can do, but there are things that people can do for you. So for instance, I'm here, but people are taking care of my children at home. There are times when you will need people. You need a strong support system. And that's why I don't understand women say they don't have friends. I don't have female friends. Now, man, go help you bath your pikin. If I'm traveling, I can call and say, oh, go, I beg, get me go my house, go check my children. If I can't be around, I need to do something. Please, blessing, please let my children sleep over in your house today. I'll pick them up tomorrow. Support. Support. My younger sister. You know, female friendships are so important. It's not for gossip. Ah, second service will talk. It's not for gossip. Female friendships, so powerful. So use people. The next one. Hey, don't feel guilty about spending money that you are earning. There's a time in your life, women, eh? There must come a time in your life where you get a cook or a chef. Since 2000, 1996, you have been cooking. Auntie, so that you don't come and die. Let them cook for you sometimes too. Pay. Sometimes eat out. Sometimes just buy something for yourself. Do you understand? Wives, I need to say that to you. Because when people get married, they just start thinking children. But and I was the most guilty. Husband, children, we travel. Come back with 6 boxes. And then on Sunday morning, be looking for what to wear. Go and buy anything for myself. Now, I'm the one working for it. I'm the one. And if children, if you don't train your children well, the money that you leave behind, they go waste themselves. So all this, you are not sleeping, you are dying, high blood pressure, you die for nothing. Pay. Use your money to save your life. Save your time, save your energy. The next one is play, and that's where I'm going to end. Play. Play. If you want to have a balanced life, play. Groove small now. Play. Shake body. See, a servant can never be greater than his master. Jesus. They even questioned Jesus Christian. Well, not Christianity, but you know what I mean. They questioned his Christianity. They say, this guy, he can't really be who he says he is. Today is in one party. Tomorrow is with sinners. And sinners, now there's a big groove, Pastor. I'm not saying you should go and groove with sinners, Pastor Larry. I do not say it though. But my point is, enjoy yourself. Travel. Buy that dress. Wear that dress. You are saving it for special location. If Jesus come, Munko. I wear it. I'm trying to lose weight into it. Buy your size. Buy your size. Every day now they buy, I would lose weight. Every time I'll be dashing people. Buy your size. Wear it. There's a reason why they made it in your size. Because they know that it can fit people your size too. Wear it. Go travel. Go and do massage. Buy that shoe. You like it. Every day be looking at it on Instagram. Buy it. Buy it. This life, no, this life is too short. Buy it. Eat what you want. Eat it. Every day. I'm done. Don't they drive me? Don't they? When they press tone, they're telling your time is up. See. Let me help you, ladies. I want to help you. You see, God, yes, God knows that you are made to be a helper. You are here to help your husband, your children, help the nation, help the organization you work. See, but help yourself too. He did not say that because you are supposed to help other people. That's why you are a multitasker. You can multitask, help everybody, but help yourself. Sleep. Do you understand? Sleep. Some days, just sleep. Just come back, sleep. Don't be upset. Just sleep. Anything will go spoil. When you wake up, you repair them. Sleep. Some days, they lock your door. Do you understand? Lock your door. Tell the children, mommy needs me time. In fact, one day my children were knocking. Last story, and I'm out of here. One day my children were knocking on my door early in the morning. So they were knocking. I don't lock the door. Because they can't come and kill me. I don't lock the door. They were knocking. I said, mommy. And I told my daughter, as she was knocking at the door, I said, mommy can't come out now. She said, why? Mommy, why can't you come out now? I said, because the mommy that will come out, you won't like her. I said, you see this one inside? Let her cook. When I finish, I will come out. And the truth is, if you don't take that time for yourself, you will be feeling frustrated, you'll be feeling stressed, and the worst thing that will happen to you is that you'll be burnt out. And when you are burnt out, everything is frustrating. You can't find your children's 2 socks, you start crying. You're not rich like that now, but you are frustrated. Too many women are broken, frustrated, tired, because they will not stop and rest. Eat what you like this afternoon. Go home, eh? Order that big fish. Not that long one. Order that big fish. Buy bully. Make sure there's plenty pepper. Then just buy wine. I know you've not drank wine since. It's only when guests come. Bring that one that you went to hide at the back. Bring it out, eh? Then on television. Collect the remote, keep it like this. Tell your husband that we are doing woman to woman conference. Continuation. Carry the remote like this, put it here. Then balance. Alone. Netflix and chill alone. Why? Because you deserve it. Can you rise to your feet this morning? I just want to take one extra minute, Pastor Larian, please. Just one extra minute to ask you to pray. See, the prayer that I'm going to ask you to pray today is that you're going to say, Lord, teach me to love myself. Too many of us don't. We help everybody but ourselves. We bless everybody but ourselves. If I say, go home, do this for your husband. So women, enter market. I say, they come for you. You don't enter market. No, not that big one. Now the kind thing with my husband, they're like, you forbid. You forbid them. So you're going to say, Lord, teach me to love myself. Help me to see myself the way you see me so that I can know I'm worthy of love. Your daddy loves you. The way God loves you, you will not believe it. God loves you so much. If you could only see yourself through his eyes. So you're going to say, Lord, open my eyes. Teach me to love myself the way that I need to love. Ladies, open your mouth. Pray for yourself. If I say pray for husband, now you open your mouth and pray for yourself. You are deserving of it. If you are standing beside your wife, please put your hand on her shoulder and pray for her. Pray for her. She has been laboring since. Today, sir, labor for her. Today, please. Hold her. Speak over her. Declare the blessings of God over her. Ladies, pray. Pray for yourself. Say, teach me to love myself. Help me to see myself the way you see me, my Father. Makalita naboshata. Rekedeisa bragalishta da yebosa. Reketeya likanosa talia mambrahalegede. Ratakalishta mandiarosa. In Jesus' name. Before I go, there's one book Pastor Larry didn't mention, and I think it's the most important book I brought. It's called Praying for Your Wife. So men, this is a book for you. Scriptures, Pastor K prays over me. The things that he prays over me. You don't know how to pray. We have written it for you. Don't bother. Just carry it like this. Say, in Jesus' name. Put your wife's name there. In Jesus' name. I declare that Jumoke is indeed a good thing. I declare she's a blessing from the Lord. That's what we are not asking you to do anything. Don't even think. You know not how to pray as you ought to. We have come as the Holy Spirit to help you. So please get this book. I will sign it for you on Pastor K's behalf if Pastor Larry allows me. Were you blessed this morning? Father, I thank you for your children. I release a blessing over them. I declare that this week will be an awesome and amazing week for them. Above all, over your daughters, I declare from today, they begin to see themselves the way you see them. And they begin to love themselves in the mighty name of Jesus. Come on, celebrate God.